Good morning, everyone. It is indeed a pleasure to be here today and to be part of the worship time that has already taken place. Thank you to everyone involved. It's been my joy to be part of the ministry team of the Peterborough area since 1984. Karen and I came to the Peterborough Free Methodist Church 38 years ago. Wow. 38 years ago in August, we will be here 38 years in August, and it's been a great joy to be part of this community for that period of time. When I came, I think George Budd was the pastor, and then we went to Don Nicholson, and then Chris Taylor. Great to see you this morning, Chris. And now you're tomorrow welcoming a new pastor, and he'll be here in this spot speaking this coming Sunday. My first church, my dad actually pastored the Renfrew Free Methodist Church from 62 to 70, and then 11 years later, I went to Renfrew as my first church out of seminary, was there from 81 to 84, and our church was in the same district as Perth, and so I have all kinds of connections. I do not know your new pastor, who is coming to you. I'm too old for that. He's too young. But I do know that some of the folks in that Perth area, and I'm guessing you're going to have a very good experience with your new pastor. Very, very good things. Good things come from the Ottawa Valley. Good people from the Ottawa Valley. Let's pray together. Loving Father, we thank you for the privilege of this Lord's Day and for the reality of your goodness to us. We give you thanks for the many demonstrations of your grace, even in this worship time this morning. We are here now to hear what you would say to us, and we are here to prepare for another day. The days of the past have been very good, but the future is going to be better. And we thank you that that is because of your grace, not our goodness. And so we ask that you'd help us as we seek your face to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. July of 2017, I went to our mailbox. We live on the southeast side of the city. And we're in one of those subdivisions where you don't get mail delivery. You go to the mailbox. I went to the mailbox. And opened the mailbox, and to my surprise, there was a letter from the Ontario Teachers' Pension Fund. I thought, oh, this is a missort for sure. There's just no way. I never taught. I know about the teacher's pension plan because I've heard all kinds of good things about it, but it couldn't be for me. I looked at the letter and the right name, full legal name, right address. I thought, well, I guess I better open it. I opened it and discovered that I had qualified for an Ontario Teacher's Pension Plan pension. I thought, this is really strange. Read more of the details and discovered that my pension was the princely sum of $1 per year. So I read more details and said, if you have any questions, and I had quite a few, here's a 1-800 number for you to call. So I got on the phone and called 1-800. The young man that answered, his name was Will. I remember because my grandfather's name was Will. He said, yes. He says, you do qualify for a pension. I said, I never taught. He said, well, I have to ask you a few more personal details and then I can fill in some of the blanks for you. So I answered all the questions and I answered them correctly. He said, yes, you did teach. I was stumped. I said, I do not remember. He said, you taught for 2 days in the fall of 1974. Well, the mystery deepened at that point. And then I began to think, where was I in the fall of 1974? I was at Roberts Wesleyan College, my first year of university, Rochester, New York, a Methodist university in Rochester. My mom was an American, and I wanted to try out my American roots at that point, and so I went to Rochester. There's more details to it, but I won't go into the details this morning. When I came home at the end of the semester, Gerald Donnell, who was a member of the Frankfort Free Methodist Church, where my dad was the pastor, was the principal of the Frankfort Public School. And they were short-staffed. And so, would you like to be a sub-teacher for a couple of days? Sure, I'll be a sub-teacher for a couple of days. I paid into the teacher's pension plan for 2 days. And that was 1974. This is 2017. I've qualified for a pension of $1 per year. Now, the young man, Will, said, you know, he said, we can pay this pension out if you like. I said, how much? $107.64. And in January 2018, you wouldn't believe the number of papers I had to sign to get $96.88 after tax in my bank account. We are reminded many times in the scriptures about the importance of remembering. We are to remember the lessons of our childhood. We're to remember the Ten Commandments and teaching them to our children and our children's children. We are to remember the death of Jesus Christ by participating in the Lord's Supper. But we are also told in the scriptures about the importance of forgetting. And the passage of scripture that I am drawn to for this theme is Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16. These are the words of the apostle, St. Paul, as he tells his own story. He goes back through his own bio, and he describes what he was like and describes where he has come to. But then he says in verse 12, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but this one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us, then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already obtained. So Christian maturity, St. Paul says in this passage, involves pressing on, moving forward, straining toward the tape at the finish line. But St. Paul makes the point that straining forward, pressing on toward the goal to win the prize, has a prerequisite, like the prerequisites that we had to take in order to be able to take the course in grade 11 science, got to take grade 10 science. There's a prerequisite to pressing on. And that prerequisite, he says, is forgetting what is behind. But that raises the question for me, forgetting what? Well, in the context of this verse of scripture, we have this concept of the call to Christian maturity. I haven't got to where I want to go, but that's my desire. I see the goal out there. I see where I'm supposed to go. I know I'm not there yet, but I know where I'm supposed to go. Verse 10, verse 11, before he gets to that 12th verse, he says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. So forgetting involves letting go of anything that would keep me from the goal of knowing Christ and becoming like him, being conformed to his image. One of the marks of Christian maturity, St. Paul is teaching in this passage, is the capacity to forget. To not only forgive ourselves for our sins and our mistakes, but also to forget, to let it go. When we do, we remove its power to potentially impair our future. The same thing is true as we relate to other people. One of the marks of Christian maturity is the willingness to forgive others who have trespassed against us and to forget, to let it slip away like sand through our fingers. That's when we diffuse its power to influence our future in negative ways. This morning, I would like to suggest three results of forgetting what is behind. First, forgetting cleanses. Forgetting cleanses. There is nothing more cleansing than forgetting the past. Now, I don't mean forgetting in the sense of repression. There are things that have happened to us in the past that we got to deal with. If we repress them, we'll simply put off having to deal with them because they have to be dealt with. I mean forgetting in the sense that we come to terms with the issue, the problem, the heartache, the disappointment, and we close the book on it. We close the casket lid. Forgetting is like the soul taking a bath. The converse is also true. There is nothing more polluting to the human spirit than the dragging up of those old experiences from the cesspool of the past. When I came to Peterborough in 1984, the old church, some of you may remember, was at the corner of Aylmer and Charlotte. And there was an elderly lady who lived just in the old downtown core who walked to church. She had a daughter who was socially delayed. And over the course of the years, I became very close to that family. At one point in that relationship, the lady, now gone to be with the Lord, said to me, I don't have any family to care for my daughter when I'm gone. Would you consider caring for her and having responsibility, the power of attorney thing that many of you already have had experience with, I'm sure, with family members. So it turned out that I ended up in that relationship and had a very, very wonderful experience with both mother and daughter after mom passed away in the late 1990s. It was well into that friendship that this elderly lady eventually told me a story from the past. She'd had a great difficulty with a sister. There was, if I remember correctly, approximately 15 years between the elder sister and the youngest sister. And there had been a difficulty in the past, and there was an estrangement. There had been no communication for years. And so one day, I was in the home down on Waterford Street. Some of you may know that street. And I was in that home, pastoral visit. And the elderly lady had one of those tub chairs. Remember those tub chairs, those round chairs, those tub chairs? And I noticed that there was a document, turned out to be a letter, that was wedged in between the cushion and the side of the chair. I can still see her bringing that out. And she handed it to me, and she said, "Here's the last communication I had from my sister. This is the letter that ended the relationship." I can't tell you to this day whether I actually read the letter. I can't remember whether I read the letter. But I was stopped by the postmark on the outside of the envelope. She still had the envelope. The letter was inside the envelope. She handed me that envelope. I looked at the postmark. The postmark was 20 years previous. She had held on to that hurt in a way that had literally terminated a relationship for more than X number of years, 20 years from the time that I was looking at the postmark on the envelope. Friends, I'm grateful to be able to tell you that over the course of time, that was fixed. That got fixed. But I know well enough, because I've been now a pastor's kid and a pastor for a long time, that even within the Christian family, there are long, long held hurts. And there is no greater way to destroy the work of the Holy Spirit in a family or in a congregation than holding on to the past. Forgetting cleanses. Second, take it one more step. Forgetting closes. Forgetting closes, it shuts the door on that chapter of our history, and then it gives permission to write the next chapter. Now, I think the best example of this in Holy Scripture is the Apostle Peter. Peter is an intriguing person to me. I guess I see myself in him somewhat. He's either completely with Jesus or he's on the other side of things, as you know. Peter is the denier at the end of Jesus' earthly life. But if you read the epistle of 1 Peter, you have a very different Peter. You have a very different one. And so you ask the question, how did Peter the denier get to be Peter who writes one of the most powerful general epistles in all the New Testament? Well, go to John chapter 21 to get the answer to the question. There's a moment of closure in Peter's journey, and it is that encounter with Jesus in John chapter 21. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep. He asks a second time, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Jesus, you know. Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. A third time, Peter was deeply grieved that Jesus would ask him a third time, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my lambs. Closure. Done. Finished. Complete. Closure is so important whenever we are leaving an experience, whether it be good or bad. Our minds are fashioned so that we have to finish one thing before we can begin another. Let me give you some earthly examples. The death of a spouse. There's an experience of grieving, closure that must take place over the course of time. It's also true with the death of a relationship, whether it be a divorce or just as we are young people and go through the collapse of relationships early in life, we have to deal with that. If we don't, we end up with commonly called the rebound effect. We end up going into some other relationship before we're actually ready for that. You cannot begin again if you haven't closed the book of the past. Closure precedes straining towards what is ahead and pressing toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. So forgetting cleanses, it's like the soul taking a bath. Forgetting closes, it gives us permission to move on. And then finally, forgetting consecrates. That word consecrate isn't a word that we use a lot in the Christian community. anymore, and it's too bad that it isn't, because it's a very, very important word. To concentrate means to set apart or to dedicate. And it shows up in that old hymn that we like to sing, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee." If we haven't forgiven and forgotten both ourselves and others, we'll be of no use to the Lord Jesus Christ, because we will still be dealing with the ghosts of the past. If you're bogged down in the mire of the past, there's no way you can step out into the future. And in the kingdom of God, the future is what matters, not the past. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. If your reference point is the good old days, you'll always miss out on what God has for us in the future. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So he is just as much a part of the future as he was in the past. The future is always different, but that does not mean it should be viewed negatively. And Paul says, he says, "I'm forgetting the past so I can be what God wants me to be in the future." We celebrate the past, we move into the future. We honor the past, and we get ready for what God has for us in the days which are to come. And if that's our perspective and our trajectory, then we'll take the best of the past, but we won't worship it. We'll celebrate it, we'll honor it, but we'll say, let's move forward. Let's do what God wants us to do in the days which are to come. Well, a story to conclude the message this morning. In another life, it seems like it was another life, I mentioned I went to Roberts Wesleyan for university. It's 1974 to 77. Graduated from university in 1977, then went to Asbury Seminary in Lexington, Kentucky, a Methodist seminary after that. Then came home, and I'm grateful to be on this side of the border, especially in the day in which we live today. I had never run track in high school. I was involved in band and a bunch of other things, and track interested me. Sports, I was involved in other sports, hockey, but I'd never really been all that interested in track. But then I got to Roberts Wesleyan, they had a really good track team. And I watched these guys running, and I thought to myself, I think I can run too. Anyway, the long and short of it is, it was kind of like a story read out of the movies. Professor Harry F. Anderson was my track coach. He was also my New Testament professor. But he was, have you seen Chariots of Fire, the movie Chariots of Fire? Well, Harry Anderson could have been that track coach. He had the hat, the whole works, the stopwatch, like the 60-minute stopwatch. He had that stopwatch. He was a very, very unique person, a very special person, someone that helped to shape me in that chapter of my life. Anyway, this particular day, I tried out for the track team. He put the stopwatch on me and says at the end of the 100 yards, not 100 meters, he said, he says, "You can run. Would you like to run track?" Let's try. Anyway, the long short of it is that I ended up having a very successful track university career at Roberts Wesleyan. But here's a story from that 3-year chapter that I want to tell you this morning. Brockport State University, which was 20 miles down the road from Rochester, had a big, big university, like a Trent-type university, and they had some excellent runners. And I thought this particular day, I thought I'd really like to win this 100-yard dash. But I had a very formidable foe. He was an exceptionally good runner. So out we come of the blocks, 100 yards, the gun goes off, and out we come of the blocks, and hey, I'm keeping up with him. Look over my shoulder, and I'm step right in line with where he is. We get to about 80 yards, and I'm thinking, I got a chance to win this thing. And then we get to 95 yards, and we're still neck and neck. And in my head, I thought, the only way you're going to run this race, the only way you're going to win this race, is if you lunge at that tape. And so I did. I put my spikes in the old cinder track. It was not a rubberized track like the nice ones here in the city of Peterborough now. It was an old cinder track. I put my spikes in that soil, almost like soil. And I just leapt. I just flew over the tape. And yes, I won the race. However, I went down in the cinders. I was blood. I still have cinders in me from my left elbow, my left knee. I was blood everywhere. Well, two of my teammates came and picked me up and tried to dust me off until the college physician cleaned me up as best he could. But Harry Anderson comes over to me in that only way that he could do it. Hat, stopwatch, just like usual. And he said to me these words, which have been words that I have remembered in multiple different situations in my life since. He said to me, and I quote, "You'll have to forget about this fall if you're ever going to run again." Now, I don't know how many times I've gone back to that sentence. Not because I fell on the cinder track of Roberts Wesleyan College in Rochester, New York, but because another kind of fall took place. And without doubt, in this congregation this morning, all of us have gone through falls. All of us have gone through stuff. And perhaps even as a congregation, you are feeling some of that. And COVID has just intensified it. Everywhere I have spoken in this period of time, the last 2 years, congregations are suffering. Pastors are going through tough times. I mean, being a pastor is a difficult assignment at the best of times. Pandemic, COVID has intensified that difficulty. I have said in every church I have spoken at, I have said these words, I am so grateful I have not been a pastor in the pandemic, because it just has changed the whole nature of the pastoral assignment. For one thing, all of a sudden you've got to be involved in television production. You know, it's crazy what we've had to do in terms of technology even. Falls are tough. They're very difficult. But you know what? The apostle says, this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, I press on. I strain forward. I lunge at the tape to win the prize for the call of God in Christ Jesus. The importance of forgetting. We're taught, and rightly so, that there's all kinds of things that we are to remember. But it's important as well to be able to have the capacity to forget. Because forgetting cleanses, forgetting closes, forgetting consecrates. Let's pray. We want, Lord, more than anything else, as the people of God, to be looking ahead. Sometimes it's really difficult to do that because the past hinders us. And we wonder if we can ever find freedom from what has taken place in the past. Thank you that your call to us is always to the future. To celebrate, to respect, to honor what has been accomplished in the past, but to look forward with anticipation to what you would do in the future. Father, we pray for Edmiston Heights Baptist Church as it moves forward, as a new chapter begins this week. We pray that your blessing would be upon pastor and people as they work together to come to terms with what ministry is going to be like in the post-pandemic era. Give them great, great vision and wisdom and insight and courage and willingness to move forward. And Lord, for someone here today who is struggling with something that took place in the past and doesn't seem to be able to get beyond that moment, may this be the stake in the ground day when they say, yes, it's enough. It was real, it hurt, it wasn't what I wanted, but I'm going to move forward. Thank you for the call of God, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, which we celebrate this day. We pray this as we pray together the prayer, Lord Jesus, which you taught your people while here on earth. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.